Welcome to CPA Spotlight, a look at the issues that impact CPAs, their clients, and their businesses from the Maryland Association of CPAs. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Bill Sheridan here. You know, the world keeps getting smaller, and the role that CPAs play in the global economy just keeps getting bigger. And both of those realities were on display at the recent World Congress of Accountants. This event is held every 4 years under the auspices of the International Federation of Accountants, and the goal is to give accountants an opportunity to discuss current events and trends and exchange views with accounting and finance pros from throughout the world. This event was held in Rome this year, and MACPA member Ken Kelly was there. Ken has been nominated as the MACPA's next Secretary Treasurer. He also is a former Senior Vice President and Controller with Spice Giant McCormick, so he knows a thing or two about global finance, and even his eyes were opened by some of the things that he saw and heard in Rome. I had a chance to speak with Ken about the experience. Here's what he had to say.
Now, Ken, this conference sounds like one of those rare occasions when we can see, you know, in one place the global scale of the accounting profession. What kind of impact did seeing that make on you?
Well, there's two things that come to mind, Bill. One is, you hear about globalization, but this kind of made it real. You had 4,000 accountants from around the world, and over 1,000 of those were from the continent of Africa. So it just showed the global nature where you hear about it, but it just brought it to light to me. That was one impression. The other impact that struck me is that the passion of these people in wanting to advance the accounting profession in their country, but also in total. And not just from a self-aggrandizing standpoint, but really you could feel the passion where they feel that they can make a difference to advance the world economy, and the economy of their country, and then the world economy in total.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the pride in the profession that we have here in the United States, but that's incredible to me that pride seems to emanate throughout the world, you know?
Absolutely. And if anything, in places maybe where it's not, you know, as far along or as mature as the U.S. or the U.K. or Australia is, there's probably even more pride, I would say.
So, yeah, Ken, the world seems to be getting smaller all the time, but our thoughts about our profession still, I think, in large part, tend to be defined by the borders that confine us. You know, I'm a Maryland from CPA, or I'm an American CPA. What are some of the issues that you saw there at the conference that CFOs and other finance professionals from around the world are dealing with that we might not appreciate here in the United States?
It's a couple different things, it's just different rules in different countries, of course, and all of that. But one of the things that struck me, again, as a U.S. person sitting over there listening to a lot of the global conversation, and several sessions and several speakers talked about this, and it touched on the issue of fraud and corruption, especially in the more developing nations. Our profession is seen as somebody on the forefront who can do a lot to help in terms of fighting fraud and corruption just by having correct sets of books and making those public and advancing this profession so that there are good and accurate documents. Yes, we have fraud and corruption. If you look at the world indexes, you know, ours isn't too bad, but there still is fraud and corruption. But in a lot of these other countries where it's a lot higher, the thought is that our profession can be doing a lot in that space and should be doing and is doing a lot and can do a lot more. So that kind of struck me as something very different or different focus from maybe here in the U.S.
That's interesting. Is that kind of a fairly new focus, do you think, from accountants in other countries, this idea that they can, you know, have an impact on the amount of fraud that's taking place over there?
No, I don't think it's new. I think it's just as those countries advance more and they get more mature and their professionals get more mature, there's more of a crying need. And also, and we heard from several, I'd say politicians or just people in government who also are looking to the accounting profession to help in that process. So it was pretty telling. The other thing is, that I saw that's different, you know, from a U.S. centric was we have a pretty robust and mature accounting profession here. Some countries, you know, in Africa, and that just struck out to me because there were so many representatives there, where the profession isn't as mature, and it's up and coming, but there's some countries, and I think it was that they said Rwanda, 10 to 15 years ago, there were 85 accountants in the country.
Oh my gosh.
And now it's over 400 and growing. At least directionally. I probably don't have those numbers exactly right, but directionally, some of these are, now there's other countries that like South Africa that are much more mature, or Nigeria that have a much more mature profession, accounting profession, but there's some of them that they're just up and growing, which again, we don't think about that because, you know, we're just concerned about the next FASB or the next SEC, you know, or a release.
Right.
Which is just a tweaking of the maturity model that we currently have, where theirs is just starting out. So it was just a very different viewpoint.
Let's talk about IFRS for a little bit. You know, the debate over IFRS is still a hot one here in America. There seems to be a lot of resistance to that issue in some circles here in the United States. But it sounds to me, judging from the notes that you sent over to me earlier, that those standards have been kind of a huge help to accountants in developing countries. Could you kind of explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, I guess, again, I hadn't really thought about it from this aspect, but during one of the sessions there, which was on conversion to IFRS, there was a comment made is, okay, for instance, in Europe, you know, 15 years ago, and I'm not sure the exact timing, but when they were considering going to IFRS, it was actually a pretty easy sell. Or not an easy sell, but an easier sell, because they had within the EU, they had maybe 30 different accounting standards, you know, amongst the different countries there. Mm-hmm. Well, they all knew as members of the EU, they really need to get to one standard. And so, okay, well, which standard are they going to go to? Would they go to the UK? Would they go to France? Would they go to Germany? Well, that wasn't really going to work. So going to a global standard kind of was an easier jump of, listen, we all know we got to go to something. Let's go to IFRS. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing if you think about the developing world. If you think about, again, the Rwanda is, okay, if they have to come up with a whole set of new accounting standards and maintain those accounting standards when they've got 85 accountants within that country, well, that's a pretty big hurdle to go over. As opposed to, okay, listen, we're trying to advance our accounting profession here. We've got a good, mature set of global accounting standards in IFRS. We're going to use that. So, again, for a lot of the smaller countries and developing countries, it's a good model to latch on to because then they don't have the maintenance and upkeep of that whole accounting standard around it. And, again, I hadn't really appreciated that until I was sitting through this and heard some of these discussions, and it makes absolute sense. You just don't hear that because you don't have that perspective in the United States.
Right, right. Now, is there, correct me if I'm wrong, sounds like there's still a bit of growing frustration among some of the other countries that were represented there about the United States' reluctance to move forward toward something like IFRS. What's their argument there?
There was a bit of frustration. The one session that was on conversion to IFRS, had Hans, who is the head of the IASB, was there. And at the very end of this, there was an open Q&A session. And I think it was a representative from Nigeria and also one from Pakistan, were pretty passionate in their address to Hans, saying is, why haven't you been able to get the U.S. over to IFRS? Now, of course, he can't make that happen.
Right.
Only somebody like the FASB or the actually ultimately the SEC could move that along. But there was a huge frustration, and some of the frustration, and some of it was, well, their argument was, well, we in Nigeria, you know, had to make sacrifices to go to IFRS. We think the United States should do that also. And it was, I'm not sure I was really thinking I was going to hear this, but actually Hans almost defended the United States. not really, but almost, in saying that, well, as I said before, in the EU, it was an easier sell to go from, you know, 30 different accounting standards to one, you know, one accounting standard that is a global standard. Is, he said, in the case of the United States, they already have a set of global, competent, you know, highly sophisticated accounting standards.
Right.
Well, okay, the impetus to go over to another set isn't as high as when you have multiple ones that you got to consolidate into one. So he said it's a little bit different sell in that situation, and a little bit harder to do.
Kind of.
So I think that accurately represented it. But I can tell you that there is frustration around the world that the U.S. hasn't adopted it.
That's interesting. Yeah, it sounds a little bit like comparing apples to oranges there. But I don't know if you can even speak to this. You come from a global finance background. What do you think about this whole IFRS debate?
I think Hans summed it up pretty well. Is, I mean, my thought has always been is the U.S., you know, is one of the largest economies in the world, has a pretty sophisticated set of accounting standards. IFRS is a sophisticated set of global accounting standards, highly reliable. For the U.S. to go over, there's got to be a really good compelling, because I know, being in a corporation, for us to be able then to go over and switch to IFRS is a pretty big deal.
Sure.
And the question is, well, what's in it for my shareholders?
Mm-hmm.
The next day, there's nothing in it for my shareholders. My share price isn't going to go up because I switched over to IFRS necessarily, immediately. Is, I understand and agree that there is a philosophical concept that, you know, one set of global accounting standards would be really good and would be good in terms of comparability and, around the world, and, quote, should help the economies around the world, and not individually but in total.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's tough to quantify. So to me, I don't see the compelling need at this time to go to IFRS.
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere down the road it gets there, but it's not here, because the cost is just so big to get over, and the benefit is pretty intangible at this time.
Yeah.
Now, there may be certain corporations that I've heard it espoused where, well, listen, most of their other competitors, which are global competitors, are on IFRS. If they're an outlier on U.S. GAAP, they're the one who's not comparable. Well, that may be a situation, you know, to think about, but for the majority of the U.S., it's a tough sell, just given the cost-benefit ratio.
Moving on away from IFRS for a second, in your view, what do you think the top two or three key issues that will impact this profession on a global scale going forward will be? What kind of rose to the top of the discussion while you were there?
You know, it's funny because, as we said before and talked about before, is there's particular issues in each of the countries, and some of it's dependent on their economic maturity model and other things. But two of the things that I know that were on my big worry list, or I say worry list, but things that we need to pay attention to now and going into the future because it will define the future, were a lot of the same themes I heard there. The two that I picked out were talent development and globalization. Mm-hmm. And those rang through in a lot of the sessions there, and they ring true in the things that you hear in the U.S. in terms of what are the issues within finance that is going to define the future. And in talent development, there was a lot of discussion around as we go to a higher model whereby more of the transaction side is getting streamlined, it's being automated, the value of finance is going to not be in doing the debits and credits, but interpreting the debits and credits and taking that data, turn it into information, turn it into knowledge, and then turn it into insight and then action. So it's moving up that chain that I just said from, you know, doing the transactions to not only being the advisor, but actually actioning based off of those insights that accountants have gleaned out of that information. So I think talent development and how do we get our people trained in finance to move up that line? And again, it's not a new phenomenon, but it's one that's continuing, and I think it's going to continue at an accelerated pace. So how do we get that new finance organization into the future?
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
So talent development was one of them.
It's kind of amazing how you hear these same things surface over and over again wherever you go, you know?
Absolutely.
What do you think corporate CPAs should be doing now to kind of get in front of those issues?
Focus on talent, and that's easy to say, but not always easy to do. Yeah. Is I think as a finance organization, you ought to be doing an assessment of what your current state is, what you think the future state is going to be 10, 15 years from now, and have a map as to how to progress from here to there. Some of the stuff that I've seen recently that I think is going to be very helpful is there's this new designation called CGMA, Chartered Global Management Accountant, and they're putting out some tools out there that I think could be very helpful in that process. There's a thing on, they have a competency framework where you can look at, well, what are the competencies I need within finance? And what are the levels of those competencies? And you can assess your people against those, and then how do I move that forward? It's just a nice little way of thinking about it. And they've also got a whole thing on the management accounting principles, which are kind of things within corporations that live and breathe, but it's never really been put down on paper of what are the principles of management accounting, not just the debits and credits, but it's budgeting and return on investment and treasury and tax and the things that happen in a corporation within finance. Mm-hmm. So I think it's getting ahead of that or getting an assessment of that and looking at how do I then develop that.
What was the biggest takeaway for you from the conference? What did you learn that you thought was particularly important or just, you know, something that stuck out for you?
I think it harkens back to maybe one of the first things we talked about is my biggest takeaway that struck me was just the whole global nature. It just brought it to light that we as accountants are global. The economy is going nothing but global, and we need to be bigger players in that. That was number one. Number two is, and I got this passion feeling from being there is that we as accountants, we as finance people can and need to make a difference in the global economy. So it's not just, oh, I can do better at my corporation you know, I can give them some insight. It's, you add that all together, and accounting and finance can drive the global economy forward. I mean, it's really powerful. And I could feel that in that room.
That's great. Well, Ken Kelly, thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
No problem, Bill. It was a great experience, and I would suggest it to others.
That was Ken Kelly, former Senior Vice President and Controller with McCormick, and nominee for Secretary Treasurer of the MACPA's Board of Directors. Ken is spending his retirement doing some consulting through his own firm, KK Advisory, LLC. Thanks for listening. For details about these and other issues that impact CPAs and their clients, contact the Maryland Association of CPAs at 800-782-2036 or visit us on the web at macpa.org and cpasuccess.com.